Hey, this is Vanessa.
This is Carlos.
And you're listening to Retro Ad Review. This is a podcast where we select a couple of random old TV commercials and review them.
So if you like commercials, listen in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Retro Ad Review.
Hi, everybody.
So we're going to look at a few ads again today, because that's what we do. Time operates on repetition or something like that.
I don't understand what time is. I've been reading some physics papers and it doesn't make sense what time is. I've been reading physics papers and watching sci-fi movies.
I know.
That's why the past is currently here on this podcast.
Yeah, it's true. So we're actually looking at things that are current right now because time is happening all at the same time. So we're not looking at old things.
And the future is linked to the present. So it's all just now and I'm confused.
Okay, so we're going to be looking at something less heady, even though what we've just described isn't that heady. It's just two stupid people saying stupid things about time. It doesn't really make any sense. We're talking about lollipops. So yay. I actually have, coincidentally, a massive lollipop in my hand. It's called a Mint Wonderland Lollipop, and it's made of sugar, glucose syrup, natural peppermint flavor, and natural colors. It looks really good, and I'm really excited to eat it. It's also a handmade lollipop. But the lollipops we're going to be talking about today are not going to be handmade. They're going to be about lollipops that are very, very manufactured in, like, a random warehouse. All of the lollipops that we're looking at, I feel like, are the types of lollipops that are made in, like, Massachusetts or Pennsylvania or something. Like, it's some town's, like, Hallmark thing. Like, ah, that's where the Charms blow pops are made. So, yeah, so we're talking about lollipops. What's your favorite lollipop?
I guess I'll have to say it at the end. I don't know.
No, just like any lollipop.
And right here, my bag. I just recently had a bag of Blue Raspberry Charms Blow Pop. I hadn't had it in such a long time that it felt like nostalgic and everything.
That one is my favorite one. Well, Sour Apple's really good. It's between Sour Apple and the blue one, which it's called Blue Raspberry?
Blue Raz.
Raz, Razzmatazz.
Raspberry, but Raspberry, because it gets on your tongue.
I really like lollipops. There was a lollipop I used to eat for a while. It was called a Big Daddy, but it was because it was a really big lollipop. So it was just like I wanted a big lollipop. But beyond that, I mean, I don't really have a favorite. Do you know, there's some like really like a fancy gourmet lollipops that I don't really get.
I've seen that because you see like the Lindt chocolate is okay. It's not like a Hershey's chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Gourmet.
But like the gourmet lollipops are always going to be like this one tastes like butter popcorn or something like that. Or chocolate coffee. And I'm like, okay, they're fine. I don't really find them really like that inspiring. But then again, I don't really find lollipops that inspiring. I just like to eat them. Okay. With that, we're going to start with our first ad. This one is like the commercial to end all lollipop commercials, but we're starting with it. So, you know, it's a good one to kick off, I suppose, because it really set the tone for how lollipop commercials could go. And I don't think any lollipop commercials hit the highs of this one since. So if you want to find it on YouTube, it is called Classic Tootsie Roll Commercial, How Many Licks? The long version.
From the Tootsie Roll account itself.
Mr. Cow.
Yes?
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
I don't know. I always end up biting. Ask Mr. Fox, for he's much cleverer than I.
Mr. Fox. How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
Why don't you ask Mr. Turtle, for he's been around a lot longer than I. Me? I bite.
Mr. Turtle, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl, for he is the wisest of us all.
Mr. Owl, How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
A good question. Let's find out. One, two, three. Three.
If there's anything I can't stand, it's a smart owl.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
I feel like all of these voices sound familiar.
Yeah, they were. They were like Paul Winchell, Paul Frees, just like a bunch of old stuff you heard from like Rocky and Bullwinkle and stuff.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense to me. As a person who watched a lot of Rocky and Bullwinkle, I didn't really.
The mom forces too.
Yeah, the voices just kind of resonate somehow. I don't really know what it is. Also, I really like the sound of these old commercials because it has that weird tape noise in the background. I don't know how to put it, but it's kind of like...
It's like a buzz.
When a commercial's really old or the voices, it's like that hiss that you hear from like a microphone or something. I don't know.
But was the Fox trying to be like Peter Lorre or some jazz musician, or what was he doing?
Yeah, he sounded like Peter Lorre.
Me? I'd bite.
You despise me, don't you?
You want to describe the commercial? It's probably going to be weird describing
it. It's a weird commercial.
You already see it.
So let's see. Let's find out. So in the commercial itself, if you've never seen it, if you've been living under a rock, I don't actually even know if they show this commercial anymore. But anyway, it begins with this weird boy with a giant butt and just legs. He's like all white. Everything's white. This is a really minimalistic commercial. He's speaking to a cow and asks him the question, how many licks does it take? And the cow's a bit like, the cow doesn't know. So then the kid moves on to a fox who's sitting on a rock wearing like sunglasses, which is a bit weird. It almost feels like they just messed up drawing the fox's eyes and then just drew sunglasses on it or something. And he asks him the same question. The fox doesn't have any answers, tells him to go to the turtle. Now, if you're familiar with the like 15-second, 30-second ads, like you won't have seen the cow or the fox, but you'll definitely have seen the turtle. So he asks this turtle who also is wearing glasses, and he's quite old, and he doesn't want to answer. And he tells the kid to go to an owl. And then there's little owl with little hat. What kind of hat is that? Looks like one of those like graduation caps. And the cow,
I think it's called motorboard or something like that.
Motorboard, something like that. Anyway, he's supposed to be very intelligent, I guess, is the impression that you're meant to get from this. And he has glasses on as well. The kid hands him the lollipop because the owl's like, let's figure this out. But it's essentially a way for the owl to eat the candy.
He's
the
a
owl
thief.
Eats the candy, the kid leaves pretty annoyed. And then the commercial cuts to some really nice animation of all of the, a really nice animation of all of the Tootsie Pops. And they're slowly like shrinking into the Tootsie Center. And then you see the crunch. And then at the very end, it shows you a Tootsie Pop with the cover on it. So that's the commercial itself. It's kind of this weird, I don't know when it was made, but like this kind of 60s-ish, it feels very handmade, put it that way. And that's the commercial. Yeah. The end. Cut to the end of the of this series.
It kind of reminds me of like those old golden books and stuff, right?
Ooh, yeah, it feels very much like that. It feels old.
Okay. Well, this commercial, classic as it is about the Tootsie Pop. The Tootsie Pop has its origins in the Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Rolls were invented by a man named Leo Hirschfeld in 1896.
That's very old. It feels like an old candy.
Yeah. Let's make it a little bit chewier than this rocks we had to eat. He was an Austrian immigrant. His father was a candy maker in Austria, and he took that knowledge with him to America, so he had something to not be poor anymore. The official story says that Hirschfeld named it after his daughter Clara, who was nicknamed Tootsie, and sold it to kids on the street for one penny. Then he later merged his candy shop that he bought with a company named Stern and Salberg. But that doesn't quite seem to be the case. It may not be the case. It's a little murky on what is reality with all this Tootsie Roll thing.
You'd think with how long of an old history, it'd be clear what their history is.
Not really. The further and further time goes back, you don't know what's happening.
Oh, yeah. I guess everything becomes like mystical or whatever.
And harder to find the truth. He worked for a company called Stern & Salberg, where he filed many patents, like a fork that would knead the dough of certain candies and all this other stuff. Some of which were half credited to Julius Stern and Jacob Salberg. One of the bigger products he made for them was the Broman Gelon.
Broman.
Broman. It's a very masculine thing.
I was going to say, it sounds like something someone would say today, Broman.
I'm going to make this. A powder that turned into fruit jelly when adding water. It sounds like a hair gel.
That doesn't sound, it sounds, I thought it was a deodorant.
Sounds like a hair gel.
Or a dapper man.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like something you'd eat.
In 1917, they changed their name to the Sweets Company of America, and Hirschfeld was kicked out of the company, tried to start his own company, Mel's Candy Company, and he had a rough time at it. It failed in 1924.
Oh, that's sad.
They would become Tootsie Roll Industries, Inc. in 1966. In 1931, however, they released Tootsie Pops, a hard candy-shelled lollipop with a Tootsie Roll center. Allegedly, there was this employee who was he was eating a hard lollipop and his daughter was eating a Tootsie Roll. He's like, let's mix it together. It's another apocryphal thing that may or may not be true.
Apocryphal.
On August 4th, 1970, they released the How Many Licks commercial.
Which is this commercial.
It was created by the Donner Ad Agency. David Donner once explained that his agency was hired by them for finding a memorable way to introduce the lollipop and show the connection of the Tootsie Roll candy.
Did a really good job if he made it memorable, if that was the aim.
Yeah. Is it memorable or is it just that it was on forever?
Well, okay, like part of how you make something memorable as well is that it plays all the time.
Yeah, but that's the memorability of it, not that in and of itself is memorable.
It's also the question. No, but the question is what makes it memorable.
Yeah, wait.
The question is what does it?
Yeah, they decided to play up the fact that consumers wanted to get to the soft Tootsie Roll center. Maybe not by licking it, but he decided to put a little boy at a commercial. How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center? Because that's what everybody likes about it. What did you like about it more? The Tootsie Roll Center or the hard candy? I like the hard candy.
I really like Tootsie Rolls, actually. So I really like the Tootsie Roll Center. And the problem is that I get to the center and I'm like, I want more Tootsie Roll. And then there's no more.
You get two candies.
And then I'm like, yeah, I think that I was always a person that liked the two candy thing. Like, you remember Screwballs? Like in the...
Yeah,
I like
just a thing at the bottom.
Yeah.
So they released it on August 4th, 1970, and has been playing in one form or another ever since. You didn't hear it. The boy asks a cow, a fox, a turtle, and finally an owl. The owl eats it, and the boy says he hates smart owls. The boy was initially thought to be voiced by Charlie Brown's voice actor, because he does kind of sound like it.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
You want me to be the director of the Christmas play?
I feel like every kid kind of sounded the same in these old things anyway. Like,
yeah, right?
I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Generic young boy you could get off the street who could kind of act, you could say that. But he was instead voiced by Buddy Foster, who I think his first name is actually Lucius.
Lucius.
Buddy Foster is the older brother of actress Jodie Foster, who is more famous, apparently.
Jodie Foster. That's actually really interesting. I didn't know Jodie Foster had a brother. But Jodie Foster's brother did voice the little owl boy. That's kind of cool.
Little owl boy. They have released 30-second, 15-second versions of it, and I have a feeling everyone's seen this. It's kind of like the ding-dong Hershey's Kisses at Christmas or something.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Mr. Owl has become something of a mascot for the Tootsie Pops, and he's kind of plastered it all over the Tootsie Rolls website when you're talking about Tootsie Pops. And, of course, because even before the internet, humans were weird and curious things. Tests on how to answer the question have been tried. How many licks does it take? They have used computer simulations. They have used students with tongues. They have had like a tongue simulator and...
A tongue simulator? How the hell do you get a tongue simulator? Just get a bunch of people to lick candies like for a while, do it a number of times, and then you can get like the average or something. And then they're paid in candy.
Like the chemistry of saliva and the hard shell. And this, some of them said the licking pattern doesn't matter if you lick hard or if you dab it or just, it's weird. So they have ranged from 130 licks all the way to 364. So
130 to 364. I do kind of wonder what the 364 is like. Do you just not have enough saliva, or you're not eating hard enough?
Old people with no saliva. And I guess the ending of the commercial is true. The world may never know, because that's a pretty wide range. The world may never know.
The world may never know.
Yeah, that voice sounded really weird.
All right, so that was a half Tootsie Pop, half Tootsie Roll, because the Tootsie Roll is the Tootsie Pop, essentially.
Dun, dun, dun. This is a Hasbro situation all over again.
What Hasbro?
Tootsie Pop, Tootsie Roll. Just everything is all the same. So
no, Hasbro, well, we keep bringing up Hasbro because it bought everything, but I'm just saying this was a double whammy of flavor. That's what my candy slogan is going to be.
A double whammy of flavor. Well, so I was saying Tootsie Rolls is the Hasbro of candy, because I think they also...
Yeah, they are the Hasbro candies.
I don't know if that's true. I feel like Hershey's is probably the...
Oh, they've bought like a ton. They have.
Are you serious? Like, what is Tootsie own outside of Tootsie Rolls?
Well, let's continue with this next one, and you might find out at least one that they have bought.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, fine. We'll figure it out. All right, so the next commercial that we're going to watch is, surprise, surprise, a lollipop commercial. And surprise, surprise, it's another lollipop that has something in it. So the Tootsie Pop has a Tootsie Roll in it, while the Charms Blow Pop has gum in it. So if you want to watch this commercial on YouTube, it's called 1989 Blow Pop. That's a Blow Pop commercial. And it's a good one.
Charms Blow Pop, take one, action. Fruit flavored candy on the outside. Bubblegum on the inside.
Fabulous.
That's a Blow Pop.
Charm.
Now flavors.
Cherry.
Grape.
Strawberry. Sour apple.
Watermelon.
Ta-da!
That's a Blow Pop.
Save from charms.
What?
Cut, cut.
So that's the Charms Blow Pop commercial. And if you are of a certain age, much like the Tootsie Pop one, because I feel like that one kind of stuck into everyone's head at one stage, but I suspect if you're of a particular age, it really got stuck in your head. This commercial played all the time. I don't think it plays anymore, because I don't think Charms does commercials anymore. Or I say Charms, but it's Tootsie Rolls. This commercial is a bit manic compared to the slow pace of the classic Tootsie Pop one, but I think that's something to do with the times. Because I don't think, this one was from 1989, I don't think 1989 children could absorb and appreciate the slow pace of the 1960s one, the Tootsie Pop one. So this commercial, I think, is basically like the background, the making of a commercial, right? I think that's what they're going for.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just another, what was that other one that we had?
The Tootsie Pop?
the Walmart kids.
Oh yeah, the Walmart kid one. Yeah. So in a previous edition of this series,
Walmart back to school take four.
They just outsource it to children and then put it over the commercial. But apparently there's this little girl named Stephanie who's the director of the Charms Blow Pop commercial. And we catch them at scene one, take one. So I guess they just did one scene and then they didn't care at all.
They said, take one, scene one. That's enough.
Yeah.
These kids suck.
It starts off with a little kid playing the drums with two Charms Blow Pop. It's one of those like 80s drum machine drums.
Yeah.
And it just shows a bunch of little kids having fun, pulling them out of their mouths. There's this nerd-looking kid who blows a bubble. There's this cool-looking kid with a jean jacket blowing a bubble.
Jackets.
And then the most hilarious part of the commercial for me is that he's wearing a jean jacket. He's playing this fake-looking keyboard. Then he turns behind and his super deep baritone voice says, "From Charms.
Yeah, what is that about? That's so weird.
Okay, that's what before he hit puberty. Now he used to sound like a jazz, like baritone voice or something. Now he sounds like a dragon or something.
Yeah, it's so weird. I didn't really understand that one.
So after deep voice kid, there's just more kids naming the flavors like grape, strawberry. The sour apple kid screws up, and they have to tell him to say sour apple, and he's like doy
doy.
And just more sucking on the lollipops. Have a blow pop. Yay. They forget to say from Charms. And then the director's upset. Like, oh, we have to cut. But since the producers of this thing and Charms and Tootsie Roll is lazy, they're like, fine, just give us what you got. Then we'll throw it on the television for like 6 years or something.
It was played like all the time, like forever and ever. It was... really it just played all the time.
I think even in the mid 90s I saw this commercial, like, that looks dated with the outfits and stuff.
The ads look dated, but they're actually nice. Yeah, the clothing looks dated, but like the kind of the colorfulness and the kind of bounciness of everything makes it feel like it's kind of one of the longer lasting ones, if you get my point. Yeah. It doesn't feel as dated as certain dated ones, I guess.
The glasses kid looks like Froggy from Our Gang, Little Rascals thing.
Oh, yeah. That he does. He really, really does. So.
But the deep voice kid has a froggy voice.
This is the happiest day of my life.
The deep. I don't get that one. It's so strange, that one. So,
what are Charms Blow Pops?
Charms, they're candy with gum in it. Very simply.
One. All right,
the
next
end.
One.
So the Charms company is a very old company. It's not as old as Tootsie Rolls, started in the 1800s or whatever. Charms started off as Tropical Charms in 1912 by a man named Walter W. Reed Jr. So it was named after its flagship product, one of the first individually cellophane-wrapped candies, so Tropical Charms.
Oh, that was another apocryphal thing of Tootsie Rolls. Leo Hirschfeld allegedly wrapped it all himself.
Yeah. It's types of things. You're like, no, they didn't. They got like a bunch of tiny children when children could be workers.
It's like one of those things. He was sitting under a tree, and then he was like, oh, yeah, then he invented this.
Yeah, this is one of those. It's like he did not individually wrap them, or else he wouldn't have made any money, because it would have taken him forever to do these individual wrappings, one. And two, he probably got, like, you know, underage children to do this or something, because they're tiny hands. Anyway, the company would later become known as Charms, because they were expanding their product line beyond Tropical Charms. So I guess they just, Charms is a much easier one to have dropped it to. In World War II, Charms were given to the U.S. Army as rations, or as part of their rations, and that was the case from then up until 2007. I don't know what Army people get now. Apparently not Charms. Other products that were sold under the Charms brand
I think I heard that Tootsie Pops were also in the rations.
that feels right.
Yeah. But there was also like a thing that said the tropical charms and charms were cursed or something. So if you ate the lemon, your tank wouldn't fire or something like that.
Oh, that's weird. All right. Another apocryphal. That's not apocryphal. But anyway, other products that were sold under the Charms brand over time were pecan-filled chocolate bars, 25 carats, but they were discontinued because of higher production costs. There's also Charms jellies, because jellies were a big thing. And then Chuckles gumdrops, which sounds really fun, and I wish that still was around. I've never heard of them.
Sounds like a mascot was
a guy named Chuckle?
Just some clown or something.
Chuckles the clown. Well, that sounds scary now. I don't like it. But then Charms would end up with another flagship product, which was, obviously, the Charms Blow Pop. So Charms Blow Pop, in case you've not had a Charms Blow Pop, is a lollipop candy with a hard shell, hard candy shell, and gum in the middle. So after going through the trials and tribulations of sucking on sugar, you're rewarded with more sugar, but chewy sugar. One advertisement when it had been produced was a great big lollipop with soft bubble gum, which is probably in that era of advertising where you just said what it was.
We're on it.
Rather than trying to sell a dream, you're just like, here's a drink.
It's a great tasting treat.
Even that's a bit too far-fetched. This one's like a great big lollipop with soft bubble gum.
Yeah, the other one makes it sound like it's tasty. This is what it is.
This is like
with an exclamation point.
Anyway, this candy type was patented by Thomas T. Tidwell, Triple T, in 1966, who filed a patent for a method for making candy with gum inside. Everything's very straightforward. I suppose when you're doing a patent, you have to be straightforward. No. So the Triple T company called it Triple Treat. What? Hold on. There's only two candies in there. How could they call it Triple Treat? Like, it's gum.
That's
gum and candy. Where's the third thing?
I guess from the Triple T company.
Where's the third thing, Tidwell?
Probably from Thomas T. Tidwell. But
Thomas T. Tidwell's a liar.
So then they made it to the treat, so they call it Triples Treat.
He's a thief. Stupid. Anyway, this is a case of like shoehorning, like this is a shoehorning, clear case of shoehorning things. Like, you have a great idea, give it its own original name. Just don't call it Triple Treat if there's not three things. Anyway, the company ended up selling it to Charms Candy Company in 1973, and they renamed it Blow Pop, which makes way more sense because it's a lollipop, but it's got bubble gum, which you blow. So Blow Pop makes more sense. The candy was created by Vincent Ciccone, a chemist who also invented candy-flavored cough drops, which is pretty cool. And the candy itself, or the Charms Blow Pop, was put into production by the company heads Walter Reed III, which is the founder's son, and the Cameron family. So they're like relatives of the Reed family, with Ross Cameron Sr. Jr. and Reed Cameron Sr. son, the in-laws of the Reeds. Anyway, it's a big old family business, and they were like, wow, this candy's amazing. Let's produce it.
Walter Reed Cameron.
So the Blow Pop became the Charms Candy Company's best-selling item, which is understandable because I don't think I'd ever heard of anything Charms did. Now, I wasn't alive for a long time when they were just on their own, but like there isn't like a legacy Charms thing that I'm aware of. So anyway, really? Charms was bought by the Hasbro of candy, Tootsie Roll Industries, in 1988. But they kept the Charms name for Blow Pops. So it was still, the Charms legacy lived on.
Other things that they have bought have been like Andy's Candies, Sella's Confections, and then the Concord Confections.
Andy's Candies?
Yeah. I feel like I've heard Concord Confections. Was that the one with the little kid with the little beanie hat?
I have no idea. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, they are technically the freaking Hasbro of Andy.
This all sounds like stuff from like the Depression. So like...
Tootsie Roll Industries is like, when they bought Charms, they became the biggest lollipop makers or something like that.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Well, anyway, they bought them. And now they come in multiple flavors. I think there's like supposedly like 16 flavors I think, because there's like new ones or limited time type of stuff. But the main ones that people know are the ones that are kind of communicated in this commercial. So you have like watermelon, strawberry, cherry, grape. Grape is always the worst, with watermelon following close behind, in my view. And then later, sour apple, which was originally shaped like an apple. I would have liked to have had that one, because that would have been fun. But they ended up later, at some point, I think probably in the 90s, releasing blue raspberry, like raspberry, which is their best-selling flavor, which is kind of cool. And did you know that West Virginia, as of 2018, Blow Pops are the most popular Halloween candy in West Virginia? So if you really like Blow Pops and are struggling to find them, just go to West Virginia on October 31st and you'll just be inundated with Blow Pops, which is pretty cool.
It's cheap. I don't know. I feel like blue raspberry came in the 90s.
I feel like everything blue came in the 90s.
I think it came out afterwards. This blue raspberry came out in the 90s. Blue M&M came out in the 90s.
The new blue M&Ms accept no imitations.
And another blue from another type of candy came out in the 90s. What is the other one?
Dum Dums?
Yes.
That's exciting. I just wanted to add one more thing on this commercial. I was looking up something that seems to be a myth, but I'm going to say it anyway. On this commercial, somebody said that apparently there was like, well, apparently, supposedly is the better word for this, an interview with the 12-year-old director who had said that it was all just like self-aware stuff, like the kids were...
Non-actors.
They were good. There was a talented group of kids, and while they were capable, shooting it as being self-aware allowed it for like line prompts to be kept in. So when they say stuff like sour apple, you could keep that in the background. So I'm pretty sure I'm reading this off of something. I'm pretty sure it's not true, but it's kind of a fun concept that there was a little director named Stephanie who was brought in by Charms to create this commercial. And supposedly in the background, it was a kid directing kids, and that was true. And if it was kids directing kids, that's why it was done in this kind of style of fake, what is it? Somebody in the background telling them their lines, or kids kind of flubbing lines, or at the end when they're all supposed to say it's from Charms, the kids don't know what to say. So apparently that was the vision of Stephanie, this director, who may or may not be true, but it's kind of a nice little capper to this story of children in commercials. It's a fun commercial. I like this commercial. They did a really nice job on it.
Okay, so that was the story of that lollipop. Now let's go to another lollipop. What lollipops am I talking about?
I actually don't know very many lollipops.
That's why it was hard finding this stuff.
Okay, so there's Tootsie Rolls, there's Charmed Blow Pop, there's Dum Dums. Isn't there another?
I don't know a basic one.
No, that's there's like a basic one that's like Dum Dum-esque. It's like European or something. I have to look this up. But... okay, so we're doing Dum Dum because that's the only other lollipop that we're aware of, right?
Yeah.
What? There must be another one. If I ask somebody, Chupa Chups. That's the other one. Chupa Chups.
But where did you hear this?
It's another lollipop. I've seen it elsewhere.
Chupa Chups, my food.
Look, Chef, on Chupa Chups.
Chupa Chups gum-filled lollipop. Karte raho.
Oh, we're going to have to look that up. Chup Chups. I don't know what it's called. It's Chupa Chups. Yeah, Chupa Chups. But this is what I'm trying to say. This is what I'm getting at. Like, I kind of feel like there's a dearth of lollipops out there that it's pretty much just those three and then Chupa Chups.
Pretty much those three, and then everything else had to have a gimmick.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
well, I guess two of them are gimmicks.
It kind of feels like they're just like generic lollipops. Like, you know, like those strawberry candies you kind of get, like you don't know who makes them, they're just there. There's like generic lollipops, and then I kind of feel like there's branded lollipops, and there's not very many branded lollipops, like big branded lollipops, because there's also like gourmet crap. But no one likes gourmet crap because it's stupid.
All right. Well, the last of the generic ones is...
Dum Dums. So we're going to watch a Dum Dums commercial.
They're the bottom tier of all of candies. I don't know.
Yeah, they're just kind of there. Anyway, if you want to watch this commercial, it's called Dum Dums Commercial 1991. Wow, what a commercial. In the event you weren't certain what this commercial was selling, it's selling Dum Dums.
Oh my gosh. And it also had a freaking doo-wop.
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. So the commercial, the way that it looks, because obviously if you hear this, you can't tell what the hell's going on in this commercial. And if you watch it, you also can't tell what the hell's going on in this commercial. It's essentially this video where children's heads are the dum-dums. And they're all wearing cool 90s sunglasses. And the background is this cool 90s, I don't even know what to call it. Like, you know those 90s designs? Like where it was like triangles in radical colors.
And stop motionally falling down.
It's the kind of thing where it looks like it's in the style of that Canadian TV show, You Can't Do That on Television, or for other people, the bubble tape bubblegum commercial. It looks like it's in that visual style where it kind of looks like half real, but kind of fake.
You know, that visual style reminds me of like crumpled paper and then some kid like drawing on it or something.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it very well, but it's got that Monty Python-esque newspaper look. It's weird, but anyway, that's what this
has that
is.
Very stop motiony look to it. Like it's, yeah, the timing is very jerky.
It's like stop motion animation, but also live action to it. The whole commercial is basically just the kids going dum dum dum, and they are the lollipop heads. Like there's like a stick, and then there's like a kid's disembodied head on top of a stick. And they're all just going dum 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 while stuff sort of happens. So it shows you the different flavors, like watermelon and stuff. And at the very end, a little kid in a jean jacket and sunglasses is singing directly into the dum dum and then eats the dum dum. And then the end of the commercial, it shows a copyright 1991 Spangler Company come go.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I think they were called the Dum Dum Heads or something like that.
The kids?
The commercial and the group, the kids, the Dum Dum Heads.
That's rude. That's rude to those children.
Dum dum dum
dum dum dum dum. So this is the least iconic of the commercials.
What is the song it's based off? I feel like I've heard it before.
Doo-wop?
Unless it's generic doo-wop.
Generic doo-wop. That's the most I can tell you.
Why would you put doo-wop in the early 90s?
Because it said dum dum. It's like dum 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 dum.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Dum dums being dumb. All right. So, on to the history of dum dums. Dum dums started with the Akron Candy Company in guess which state in the United States? Ohio.
I mean, does everybody know where it is? I mean, it's in Ohio, but I guess it's one of the few.
No, I figured it was.
Yeah.
So it started the Akron Candy Company in 1924. It was named Dum Dums because someone there suggested it because they believed young children could say it and it's memorable.
The Dum Dums was a name that young children could both say and remember.
Like when they say young children, like how young are we talking?
Like pretty young, like what? Four or five?
Yeah, like really, really young because like I feel like kids can say everything.
Kids can speak whole sentences by like five. Dum Dums were purchased in 1953 by the Spangler Candy Company, which still currently owns them.
Wow.
Initially, there were seven flavors. Lemon, lime, orange, coconut pineapple, cherry, grape, the worst flavor, and butterscotch.
These are weird flavors. coconut pineapple and butterscotch.
Yeah.
Like for a lollipop, I mean, because that's like typical, mm-hmm. especially coconut pineapple. That's very weird.
It was a little difficult keeping up with how many flavors there were for this thing, because this one, unlike the others, is kind of notorious for switching it up. Throughout the years, they have added and replaced flavors. I think the original lineup has 16 now, plus one, which we'll discuss a little bit later. But they've been like a fruity fruit punch, like a Hawaiian punch.
Blue raspberry.
Popcorn came out, but they didn't like popcorn. It was half and half. People liked it, so they took it out for Choco root beer and this and that. It's very confusing. And they are also known for their mystery flavor. In every bag comes a question mark, dum-dum. And the mystery flavor, his mystery, has been solved. It's actually made when they are changing flavors on the machine, but they don't really clean it so that production could just easily continue.
That's really funny.
So you get like a cherry grape at the end of one if you want.
Ew.
It's a mix of the last one and the next to the new one.
The truth is, the mystery flavor is different from batch to batch, so they don't have to stop production in between flavors.
All of our Dum Dum lines are continuous.
So that's kind of cool.
That's pretty fun, though. I kind of like that. I feel like that's efficient in terms of processes, but it's also just fun because I like mystery flavors because I'm a sucker.
I like Dum Dums. I'm a sucker for Dum Dums. They're suckers. Okay, they are made by, and I am quoting verbatim from the site because the procedure is complicated to me and there's several steps. Dum Dums are made from a mixture of sugar and corn syrup. After it is cooked, it is placed in a large mixer and the color and flavor are added. After these ingredients are mixed together, the batch of candy moves through a batch roller and press, which forms the head of the Dum Dums and inserts the stick. After the candy cools, it is wrapped and set by a conveyor belt to an area where it is packaged for shipment. So they basically have like the corn syrup plopped out.
Ew.
Then they mix the flavor in there and it mixes. Then they plop it down and two like bulldozer head things squish it together. Then they put a conveyor belt in a rolling thing so it could turn like round. Then they put the sticks in through a machine and then they let it cool down and then package it for shipping. There's like videos on it.
See, that sounds complex for what seems like the most basic candy. I was reading something that I think like Charms Blow Pops are created in a ribbon form before they're like turned into a lollipop.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for candy making.
So even though this is the most basic thing ever, it's pretty complicated.
Yeah, and they're really small too. Like pointlessly small.
Yeah, yeah. So little kids who can't pronounce it can eat it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Weighing in at only a quarter of an ounce, this tiny pop packs a punch.
So I've seen these a lot. They give them out at businesses and doctor's office. So
yeah, that makes sense. Not dental offices, though.
Yeah, that's true. In 1955 or 1959, I couldn't quite get the date right because everything in these old companies, they're getting lost to time, so you can't tell what's what. Spangler launched the Save Wraps for Stuff that let you exchange wrap for items like toys and...
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. Huh. The program went on until 1994. But then it was brought back in 2001 and discontinued for this last time anyway in 2020.
That's sad. That's actually a really cool legacy thing.
I'm assuming it was the pandemic.
Yeah, I assume as much as well, but still. Boo.
They had a theme song, Dum Dum, the lollipop song by Johnny Christmas and the Dynamics.
As it gained in popularity, Spangler's new lollipop inspired a song called Dum Dum, subtitled The Lollipop Song.
That sounds so stupid.
And the company website also said Brenda Lee had a song called Dum Dum. I actually listened to the song, but it doesn't sound like it has anything to do with summertime licking lollipops. She's just like hitting on some guy or something.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Well, I'm not sure why the company has it on their website, but okay.
Probably because the company is really proud of their name.
So anything you say Dum Dum, they put it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you created something like a song or a TV show and said the word Dum Dum in it, they'd probably put it on their website.
Okay. So, well, what they do have on their website is all the flavors that they've ever had, like a timeline of the flavors, like 1924 to 19. It's crazy.
Wow, that's interesting.
They also have a mascot, which also feels kind of old-timey. In 1966, the Howard Swink Advertising Agency created the Dum Dum Drum Man.
Dum Dum Drum.
He's like a little classic marching band drum with a marching band hat, rosy colored cheeks, and he plays his own body face with Dum Dums.
That's pretty cool. It sounds like a total freak.
To advertise it, he sometimes appears in like Times Square and other places and gives out free Dum Dums, which is nice.
Ooh, okay.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, okay. He's less of a freak now.
he's a sweet freak. Okay. They made an effort to make them healthier in the 2010s, and according to the website, gluten-free, this-free.
It's glucose and sugar, Dum Dums.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, the way that it's healthiest is because it's so small that calorically, at least, it's kind of like, do you want a sweet treat, but don't want to, you know, get a big, big treat? You just get a little Dum Dum, and it kind of calms the shakes. Whatever, Dum Dums. This is foolishness.
It's so concentrated in a compact size that you're going to die in it.
Yeah.
In 2022, 12 million Dum Dums were manufactured each day.
Each day? Like, how many people are eating these? Like, how many doctors are giving this away in their offices?
It is about the second most popular lollipop in America.
What? What? Just by pure like brute force in terms of like production. That has to be why.
Yeah, that commercial just earwormed their way to our hearts.
Oh, I would not have guessed that based on the commercials. I'm assuming Tootsie Pops are, wait, I don't know what's the most popular chocolate.
I could only find one other commercial where they crossbred with Honey Nut Cheerios. Some lady was like, oh, I have to separate them, and it's going crazy. And then the bee's like, hey, you need a break, Honey Nut Cheerios. Like, why are you shoving sugar at me?
Yeah.
And then it exploded because it's a funny commercial and blah, blah, blah.
Now you can get two free Dum Dums lollipops inside specially marked boxes of Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay, so.
So, speaking of the wrappers that you're talking about, don't one of the other candy companies do like a thing with the wrappers?
It was a myth with Tootsie Pops, but
what was the myth?
Someone started a rumor that if you gave the wrappers to candy stores and everything, they'd give you something, but it wasn't real. But sometimes they just gave you stuff anyway because they wanted to be nice to the kids.
Oh, they get out of my way, kid. It's like, here's another stupid lollipop. So wait, what was it again? What was on the wrapper?
What was on the wrapper of what? Dum Dums or the Tootsie Pops?
No, the Tootsie one.
They said if you collect a certain amount and if you something at the bottom, it was a rumor.
No, I thought it was. I'm going to look this up. I thought like for Dum Dums, you exchange them. But for like Tootsie Pops, I thought it was something or whichever one it was. It's a star. So like there was a star on the wrapper and then you would exchange that.
Yeah, but it was a myth.
Oh, no, I know it was a myth. I was just asking what it was.
I didn't know about the specifics of the myth. I thought it was just you gave the wrappers and they were like, oh, five, that means a chicken. I don't know.
Apparently there was some sort of star. There's like a star on the wrapper. And then that's the myth. So it's like if yours had a star, you get something special from the Candyman. And then it's not true. Which is probably really disappointing for a bunch of kids. I can see why some people are like, here, have another candy.
Did you know that if you eat Pop Rocks with Coca-Cola, you die and you explode?
No, but I know if you do something with Coke and a Mentos, you explode a Coke.
We went over that with our, was it Yeah, the Mentos episode with the Mentos commercials.
Yeah.
It is not chemical. It is from the physical smoothness of the Mentos. It's actually kind of bumpy like the moon, so the carbonation shoots it up.
That's bizarre.
Okay, so that was Dum Dum.
Okay, so now we're at the point where we get down to brass tacks and rate these messes.
Kind of business.
Okay, so this one's actually going to be really difficult, except for this first one. Which is your least favorite of the three?
The least favorite. You go with the commercials because I can't quite figure it out.
All right, so my least favorite is clearly Dum Dums.
Yeah, I'll go with Dum Dums too because the other ones are pretty. Well, the first one's super iconic, and the other ones, I've seen it 100 times as a kid, so this one less so.
Yeah.
And it's just strikingly weird. The visuals are weird.
Do you know how I was saying about the Charms Blow Pop one being a little bit more like slightly more timeless, if that makes sense? This one is clearly like we made this in spring of 1991.
Because we have kids with jean jackets for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. Like denim, denim, denim. But even like the kind of like weird, the weird visuals just scream early to mid 90s.
And there's like this watermelon mouth that goes over the kid's head.
Yeah, yeah. I think with this one,
Ray Harryhausen made this.
I think with this one, it's just not nearly, well, okay, we didn't see it a million times, so we're obviously biased, but even without not having seen it a million times, I do feel like it's kind of, it's not as charming, I think, as the other two. This one's just a bit more like, we're in your face.
It doesn't feel as in face. It feels like kind of wholesome, but also the jingle. It's just the jingle and the weird visuals are what make it, but it just doesn't have enough.
Yeah, the jingle's fine. I mean, it's just dum 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 or whatever, which I get what they're going for, you know, dum dums. But yeah, it just doesn't really like, yeah, it doesn't have the charm of the other two, I think. And I think that's why I'm not as into it compared to the other two.
Was that a pun?
Well, no, because only one of them is charm related. Okay, so then what's the second?
Okay, so I'm struggling with the other two, but I, at least right now, will say the Charms is the second one for me.
Me too.
Because it does feel kind of contrived because they're like, yeah, let's get kids to pretend they're making a movie and they're sucking at their lines. And they have like school play, cardboard cutouts, strawberries and grapes and stuff.
It
doesn't annoy me like kid things annoy me. Like when they do deliberate kid things, this felt a little more natural.
I think that's why I like it.
But I do have to give a bonus point to the deep baritone voice child from Char.
So I think why I like it is because I like that it doesn't feel as much like us kids, you know, like it feels a little bit like. Like some of these kids are actually very cute and they're like kind of fun. Like for instance, when the little girl's giggling and stuff like that, that feels kind of authentic compared to like stuff where it feels very contrived. That little boy with the glasses when he's waiting for the watermelon to kind of come down, that's very cute too. So it's a cute commercial and I do like the school play aspect of it. With that stuff kind of coming in. The obviously the safe from charms thing at the end is contrived or whatever, but it's a really nice, I think it's just, it's done a nice job of communicating the atmosphere of what they were trying to get.
Yeah.
Kids making something and just kind of screwing up a little bit, but still trying and blow pops.
Yeah, you could tell it was fake. Like it was meant to be that way, but they pulled it off naturally enough.
Yeah, that's the interesting.
And if that story is true, then it's kind of impressive that kids did it alone.
Yeah, I mean, I question the authority of that source.
I question the authority of the sources of a lot of things in this episode.
Of course,
It's like he wrapped it himself in the back of a truck, and the other guy did this.
Well, at least there's like some lore around it. This one you couldn't really say is lore. But Stephanie, yeah. If you did make this commercial and you were only like 12 years old or something, good job. It's a really good commercial. It's also one of those commercials that I think if you look online about it, loads of people remember it. They're just like, oh God, this. Yeah. There's like so many like even Reddit threads just dedicated to the commercial going like, does anybody remember this thing? Because it was on all the time.
Seriously?
Yeah, there's like a good few of them where people are just, hey, this blow pop commercial. People just really like this commercial. It's old and it's just kind of a fun little commercial. It's just because it played all the time. And it played during the heyday of Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
When it was like the only time where you could watch cartoons. So I think that's why it's embedded with a certain generation. Because they did a good job of spamming that commercial during peak child hours.
Yeah, like 3 p.m. in like 1995, you still saw this.
Yeah, yeah. So that all means right. our top one for both of us is the Tootsie Roll commercial.
Tootsie Roll. Yep. For me, it's because it's super classic. The 30-second version for me, I think, is the most because it had the turtle and the owl.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Mr. Owl.
But seeing the whole origin of it, it felt like a short movie. And it had the weird old... I mean, children's golden books thing look for me. The whole 70s sleepy aspect of it.
Yeah.
Just a generic child voice and all these impressive other voices.
Jodie Foster's brother.
And I never knew until like a bit later that a cow and a fox were actually there.
Yeah.
So now the owl is part of popular culture history. I think even more than like the Charms Blow Pop, how some 90s kids are like, oh, remember this? This one, everyone knows this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's even made fun of in TV shows and stuff.
Well, that's what I mean. Like this one kind of like cemented itself in multiple ways. So I think that's why it's kind of like the top one. It's a fun commercial. Like it's really weird because watching the whole thing is it's incredibly slow paced. And I think that was probably of the era more than it being like, we're so confident in our brand that we're just going to make this kind of a slow story. But one of the fun aspects to it is also it's a cartoon. So cartoons are fun to watch. And, you know, it's that classic asking multiple people to help you out, you know, something a kid would kind of do. And then weird characters, you know, fox with sunglasses, a cow.
But did they, in the 70s, did they always have that like realistic looking stuff? At the end, they look kind of rotoscoped.
I think that was kind of a type of thing.
Really good.
It was really good. Like the drawing style, like you can question the drawing style throughout because you're like, this looks like a kid did it. But then when you look at the animation and the depiction of a Tootsie Pop.
Deteriorating Tootsie Pops.
It's so realistic looking. It's really nice looking. So it's like, all right, maybe they know what they're doing.
I think of all the designs, the boy is just the weirdest looking.
The boy looks weird. He's like feet and head. There's like nothing else.
There's no neck. And in the beginning, his butt sticks out a lot.
Yeah, his butt really sticks out. It's weird. And that owl's a jerk. And I think that's kind of the lesson of it. It's like, don't trust owls.
Okay. So which one is your favorite candy?
Well, don't we typically do which one would you buy based off the commercial?
Oh, but I figured this was just like a segue into it. Okay, fine. Which one do you want to go first?
All right, I'll answer your question. It's the Tootsie Pop. I really like the Tootsie Pop one.
For me, it's the Blow Pop because I like the hard shell and the gum tastes good. I especially liked it when you get to the gum and then you still have the hard shell. You can chew the hard shell.
Yeah, you used to like doing that. I didn't like that. I like keeping them kind of separate as possible. I like the blue raspberry and sour apple.
Yeah, that's it. I like the grape, the favorite flavor.
Disgusting flavor.
Why did you hate it so much?
Grape's a bad flavor, just generally speaking. It doesn't even taste like a grape. It doesn't make any sense.
It tastes like purple.
It's purple. Just call it purple. It's awful. I hate it. So... I hate any purple-colored candy.
What about bubble tape? That was the best.
Over in like Europe, purple is like black currant. I say Europe. I don't know. It could be different in Spain. I have no idea. But there is no grape. It's usually black currant, and that one also sucks.
Licorice.
Well, licorice sucks. But like, purple is just a bad color for candy. That's my view on it.
So
And what I hate as well, just going on to this, is I hate when you get a pink candy and you don't know if it's going to be strawberry or watermelon, because watermelon sucks, but strawberry's nice. So I feel like you kind of like hit a bomb whenever you get like a pink one, unless it's Starburst.
That actually happens when I'm eating the vitamin C stuff. Okay, so since the bonus question was asked first, the regular question, which one would you buy based off the advertisements? I'd go with Charms.
I was about to say Charms.
I want to have fun.
I like Charms. It makes you feel, yeah, it's fun.
The Tootsie Pop feels distant from me because I'm watching a short little cartoon.
Yeah.
And Dum Dums is, it's just a song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids having fun and sucking on it. Like, it's popping all the time. Pop, pop, pop.
I actually think the Tootsie Pop one, or excuse me, not Tootsie Pop, the Charms Blow Pop one is probably the best ad of the three. Meaning, like, it's kind of communicating a sense of, like, I would purchase off the back of that, but also just, like, in terms of an ad being created.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like the Charms one is really good because it shows, like, kids having fun, which is what you want when you want kids to buy your thing. But also it's telling you what are the different flavors. Watermelon, strawberry. So it tells you the different ones. So it's also doing that information thing, but it's doing it kind of fun.
Say sour apple.
Sour apple. Sour apple, good.
And then he knocked head because he didn't say it.
Okay. Well, I think that's the end of these lollipops. Now I can eat my lollipop. I actually have to probably eat dinner and then I can eat my lollipop. It's a big lollipop, everyone. Big lollipop.
Okay. So
that's it. That's the end. All right. So I think that's it. So thank you very much for listening. Remember, if this is your first time listening, welcome. But make sure to follow us or subscribe to our podcast on whatever podcast station you listen to. We review ads. And that's it. So we're also on Facebook and Instagram, Retro Ad Review. If you have suggestions for commercials for us to watch or review, we'll do it just for you.
This one was actually a suggestion, wasn't it?
Yeah, this Charms Blow Pop one, which is a really, really good suggestion because it's a really good commercial. So that is it. Thank you to everyone for listening. With that, we're out. I'm going to go eat dinner and then eat my lollipop. I'm actually going to do that too.
I'm going to do that thing that I do where I say the three things, kind of mix them together. Like, I have shampoo and then I'm going to eat soap. I'm just going to stuff a bunch of candy in my face and enjoy myself.
Why don't you buy three of the candies and melt them into one giant lollipop?
Now it's five candies. Dum Dums, oh my gosh. Okay. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.